You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, January 25th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. And if you enjoy this show, please subscribe to it where podcasts are found. We will deliver new episodes to you each morning as they are posted. And leave the show a good review if you like what you hear. That helps us out quite a bit. Well, Super Bowl 55 is now set. It will be the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the AFC champion and defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs a week from this coming Sunday. The game will be played in Tampa. The Buccaneers will be the first team in the 55-year history of the Super Bowl to play the championship game on their home field. And it oddly comes in a year where attendance will be limited. We had two championship games yesterday, and we're going to talk about what happened on our show today. The day began with the NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field, a game that had plenty of hype going in. You had two legendary quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, a historic venue in Lambeau Field. All of this led to hopes that the game would be an absolute classic, and I have to say, considering it was a championship game, I was shocked by just how low the quality was. And I'm talking about all factors, whether you're talking about the play, whether you're talking about the officiating, whether you're talking about coaching decisions. And there was one that, you know, will live in infamy for quite a while. The game was close. The game came down to the finish, but I thought it was a very low-quality game, especially for a championship game. I can't remember the last time I felt the championship game was just so low-quality when you think about all of the mistakes that were made. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers advanced to the Super Bowl. They will go to their second Super Bowl in franchise history. They won the game 31-26, and they got off to a hot start in this game. They jumped out to a 28-10 lead early in the third quarter. And Tom Brady looked great in the early stages of this game. In fact, in the first half of the game, Tom Brady looked like New England Tom Brady. He looked like he knew the coverages Green Bay was running better than the Packers did. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was just really locked in. In fact, he threw for over 200 yards in the first half. And that was with some key drops. And there were plenty of drops on both sides. I think that this game really turned in a stretch that was really only like a minute and a half of actual game time. It just felt longer because it included halftime. But it was late in the first half. Tampa Bay was ahead 14-10. Green Bay had the ball. And the Packers were trying to put together a scoring drive in the last minute of the half. Aaron Rodgers threw an interception. The ball was picked off by Sean Murphy Bunting. And it was a blown call because he clearly held on the play. He clearly held. He was covering Alan Lazard. And it was a play maybe you could see coming a little bit because the Packers had just hit a third down completion. They were kind of backed up. And right before the half, this was like in the two-minute drill. Rodgers hit Lazard for a 23-yard gain on the 3rd-and-6 play. And it was like a little over a minute left in the half. And they got the ball to the Green Bay 40. And Green Bay did not show a lot of hustle getting to the line. There was not a lot of urgency. They let a lot of time run off the clock between the completion to Lazard and the next play, the ball was snapped. And, you know, maybe Green Bay was a little bit out of sync. Anyway, the interception followed. So it's 14-10. And the Packers are trying to get a stop here. And inexplicably, right before the half, after the Bucs convert a fourth down conversion, Scotty Miller gets open. Brady hits him for a 39-yard touchdown on the last play of the half. And Miller gets past Kevin King. Kevin King has to know in that spot that, like, you cannot, the only thing you cannot do is let somebody get past you. Kevin King pulls the Greg Williams play and just lets a guy get over the top. So it's 21-10 heading to the half. Then, in the first minute of the second half, Aaron Jones fumbled after a reception from Aaron Rodgers, and on the next play, Cameron Brait caught an 8-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady. So it was 28-10. And sometimes we look at plays that happen late in the game as plays that decide the game, but you have to remember, a score early in the game is just as valuable as a score late in the game. And at that point, at 28-10, the game was, you look back in retrospect, Green Bay made the charge, but it wasn't enough. The game was pretty much over at 28-10. Green Bay only scored 26 points in this game, so by the time Tampa Bay had 28, they had pretty much won the game. And you have to remember how important it is to build up a big lead, because over the last 29 minutes of the game, the Packers outscored the Bucs 16-3. Winning a 29-minute stretch of the game by 13 points is a pretty big deal. But the Bucs had built up such a big lead, it did not matter. Eventually, Aaron Rodgers started to get hot. Now, I did not think Rodgers played a great game. I thought that there were some plays that he missed, especially early in the game in the red zone. There was one back shoulder throw to Devontae Adams, which Troy Aikman blamed Adams for dropping it. I thought the throw was off target. I thought there were the number of off-target throws Rodgers made. He did get hot a little bit later in the game, led a couple of touchdown drives to get the Packers back into it. But ultimately it wasn't enough, and the game came down to a sequence at 31-23 late in the fourth quarter, and it will be a coaching decision that will be discussed forever, because the Packers got the ball to the Tampa Bay 8-yard line. On third down, Rodgers threw an incompletion into traffic for Adams. And on that play, it looked like Rodgers had room to scramble. Rodgers may have scored a touchdown if he had just scrambled. Instead of throwing it, he was scrambling right. He decided to throw it back left. Fourth and goal from the 8 with just over 2 minutes left in the game. The Packers were down by 8. And head coach Matt LaFleur kicked a field goal, which did not make a lot of sense. Now, I think LaFleur is probably going to get too much of the blame for this loss from Green Bay fans and from NFL fans, because he's not really the reason they lost this game. Again, the first half, Tom Brady destroyed their defense. You had Kevin King getting lost right before the half. You had the Packers making mistakes. There were a lot of dropped passes. Again, Rodgers missed some throws in the red zone. And fourth and goal from the 8 is not a very high percentage play. Let's be honest. They probably do not score on that play. That said, this was a call that made absolutely no sense. You have to at least give your offense a chance. You know, if you're down by 6, kicking the field goal there is the wrong move. It's a terrible decision, but you can at least kind of understand what the coach is thinking, because if you're down 6 and you kick the field goal, then you're saying, okay, well, if you get the ball back, now you only need a field goal. You don't need a touchdown. When you're down 8 and you kick the field goal, you still need the touchdown. Now, granted, the touchdown wins the game instead of sending it to overtime with a 2-point conversion, but at that point, all of your attention needs to be focused on the touchdown. Somehow it wasn't, though, for the Packers. So the Packers kicked a field goal to cut the lead to 5. And the Bucs got the ball back and were able to run out the clock. And they were aided by a penalty which seemed kind of suspect. It was a play where it looked like the Packers had gotten themselves off the field. But Kevin King was called for pass interference. A rough game for Kevin King. He also got beat deep on a play by Mike Evans, where Evans just kind of dropped the ball. Again, a lot of drops in this game. Now, by the letter of the law, it probably was pass interference. You could see King tug Johnson's jersey. But through the entire game, you have to understand the context of this game. This game was essentially one where very few penalties were called. They were letting the corners get away with a lot. And to throw a flag at that point in the game, on a ball that probably was not catchable, and on a play where Johnson pretty clearly did a flop, very questionable call. And to be honest with you, I don't love the fact that the officials decide to change the rules of the league once you get into the NFC Championship game, but if you're going to call the game like that, the way they called the game, I don't see how you can throw the flag there. Especially after you let them play on a consequential play that turned into an interception right before the half. You know, really suspect play all around. In the second half of this game, Brady threw three interceptions, two of which were really ugly. Brady was vintage Tom Brady in the first half. In the second half, Green Bay, I think, started to get to him a little bit better. Maybe the cold was impacting him. He just was not the same guy. He looked really bad. Again, three interceptions, two of which were awful. One of which probably could have been caught by Mike Evans, but throw was still high. This game was really not a well. I mean, this was a game that was bad on all ends. Suspect calls, suspect coaching decisions, and not a high quality of play. You know, it's one thing when an offense goes out and executes, and maybe you don't blame the defense. Maybe it's just the offense being great. Or it's one thing if the defense goes out and dominates. You know, that's not the offense. This was just a game where guys were not making plays. But Tampa Bay did enough. I think, you know, to the extent people were making plays, it was Brady in the first half. And that helped Tampa Bay build up a big enough lead to advance to the Super Bowl to beat Green Bay. And ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll talk about who their opponent will be. When it comes to getting into or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everybody, and one membership lets up to five family members work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, breaking down conference championship Sunday. We talked about the NFC championship game in our first segment. Now let's talk about the AFC championship game. The defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Buffalo Bills 38-24 to advance to the Super Bowl for the second consecutive season. And, you know, ultimately this came down to one thing. The Chiefs are just the best team in the AFC. The Chiefs were better than Buffalo. It was going to take a lot for Buffalo to win this game. And for whatever reason, the Chiefs always seem to get off to slow starts in these home playoff games. This has to be the fourth time in the last 3 years Kansas City got off to a terrible start in a home playoff game. They did it 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game against New England. Last year, both of their home playoff games, the one where they collapsed in the early going against Houston before coming back, and then they also got off to a bad start in the AFC Championship game against Tennessee, and it was more of the same early in this game. Right off the bat, the Bills put together a 10-play drive that resulted in a field goal. The Chiefs had a quick three and out on offense. Their defense forced a punt, but then Mecole Hardman fumbled the punt. The Bills recovered it on the 3-yard line and were able to score a touchdown to make it 9-0. And, you know, it's funny because even at 9-0, a little over halfway through the first quarter, it never felt to me like the Chiefs were in danger. Because with this kind of offense, you know they're eventually going to get things going. That's a team where you never feel like they're in danger, no matter how far behind they are, just because of what they have on offense. And sure enough, they put together a 14-play touchdown drive to make it 9-7, got a quick three and out, and they scored another touchdown, another three and out, another touchdown. Before you know it, it's 21-9. And I've seen Bills fans complain because their defense was kind of conservative. I don't know any. First of all, it's kind of the way the Bills play, but I don't know any other way you can play this Kansas City team. They just have too many great players to match up with them one-on-one. If you go one-on-one across the board and blitz Patrick Mahomes, first of all, Mahomes has a way of evading blitzes, but somewhere there's going to be a weak link. Really, the only thing you can do is play deep, try and limit the big plays and force them to put together long touchdown drives. And even then, the Chiefs will still hit some big plays. They still hit some big plays in this game with Tyreek Hill, with Hardman. All you can really do is just hope that in some of the long drives you force them to put together that they make mistakes. They did not. They had a 14-play touchdown drive in this game. They had a 9-play touchdown drive. They had a 10-play touchdown drive. They had an 11-play touchdown drive. This is just a tough team to play. You know, Sean McDermott, the only thing I would criticize Sean McDermott for were there were a few situations where he decided to kick field goals on fourth and short instead of going for it. One happened right before the end of the first half. It's 21-9, and Buffalo has had a fourth and goal on the 2-yard line, and he decided to kick a field goal right before the end of the half to make it 21-12. And then on Buffalo's first drive of the third quarter, the score was 24-12 because the Chiefs kicked a field goal on their first drive. Fourth and 3 from the Kansas City 8, they try another field goal. And that made the score 24-15. The Chiefs promptly scored a touchdown to make it 31-15. It kind of felt like the game was over at that point. Look, this is not the reason the Bills lost. I do think that you have to try and score touchdowns against Kansas City. I understand that sometimes on these drives, it can be demoralizing if you come away from them with no points. But, you know, in a championship game, you have to try and score touchdowns, especially against this Kansas City offense. You know, when you're at this level, you cannot count on the other team failing to come through. You know, you're playing the Jets, you're playing the Adam Gase Jets, you can kick a field goal because you can count on their offense not functioning. You can count on their offense turning the ball over. You can count on that field goal standing up. When you're playing against an offense like Kansas City, you have to take some gambles. You know, when you're the less talented team, you have to try and steal points in some way. But, you know, I don't want to get on McDermott too much because I don't think there was a lot he could do in this game. I don't think there was a lot Buffalo could do in this game. The Chiefs had a good game plan. You know, they, for the most part, were able to contain Josh Allen. I thought the guys on CBS did a good job breaking it down. They blitzed him a lot. And what you saw in that game is some of the advantage that comes from having corners who can cover one-on-one. When you can trust your guys to hold up one-on-one, it opens up a lot on defense. You can get very creative with your blitz schemes. It's the exact opposite of the situation I laid out that was facing Buffalo's defense. You know, Buffalo kind of had to play conservatively because with all of the talented targets Patrick Mahomes has to throw to, it's tough to play one-on-one because somewhere there's going to be a mismatch and Mahomes is going to exploit it. On the other side of the ball, the Chiefs were able to blitz, contain Josh Allen, you know, take away his running lanes because they could trust their guys to hold up on the back one-on-one. It was a very impressive performance by the Kansas City defense. And I thought it was a good game plan by defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, who, by the way, is going to have a chance to win his third Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator a week from Sunday in Tampa. I don't think that there's a lot to break down in this game. The Bills were getting some buzz during the week, but I just did not see it. I think the Chiefs, better team. I was expecting the Chiefs to win this game. The NFC game, I was kind of up in the air on. I did pick Green Bay on Friday's show, but I thought that game was kind of a coin flip. I just think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. I felt like really the only way the Chiefs could lose this game is if they threw it away. And even in the first quarter when it seemed like they were kind of throwing it away with, you know, there was a dropped pass by Tyreek Hill on their first drive. I mentioned the lost punt that Buffalo recovered on the 3-yard line. Even at 9-0, like I said, we've seen this story before. Chiefs have gotten off to slow starts in playoff games in the past, and they've always gotten things going. It never felt to me like they were in any real danger in this game, and they did what they needed to do. Patrick Mahomes just continues to amaze. I mean, you look at it almost comes easily to him. The way, you know, you get a free runner off the edge, and he just knows how to bait the guy. He knows how to fake the guy out and shake free of him. You know, and you just look at how quickly he processes things. I mean, he's a guy who's always he's a guy with all the physical tools in the world, but also a guy who in a very quick time has really learned how to master the art of playing quarterback. Really, I think it goes without saying, we're watching the next great quarterback in the NFL when you look at the way Patrick Mahomes performs in this Kansas City offense. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the new Built Bar is even more delicious. There are now 18 amazing flavors. There are 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, to go with the 12 original flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com. We are getting ready for the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and there's only one place that has you covered, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It will be the Chiefs and the Buccaneers from Tampa a week from this coming Sunday, Super Bowl 55. Every year, the Super Bowl obviously has a lot at stake. The championship of the NFL for that year is on the line, but I always try to think of what is on the line in a historic context, because when you talk about the history of the league, some Super Bowls are more important than others. You know, last year's game between the Chiefs and the 49ers, in a historical context, you know, I don't think there was a ton on the line. I do think that there was one important thing. Andy Reid getting his championship was important for his coaching legacy, but you know, ultimately, I don't think it was that big of a deal. Whereas this year, I think there's a lot on the line historically. Obviously, you know, Tom Brady is going to go down as arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, and you could make the point that arguably might be overselling it, but it's another chance for him to enhance his legacy by joining the club of quarterbacks to win Super Bowls with more than one team. He could join Peyton Manning in that group, the quarterback with whom he was so frequently compared during his career. And on the other side, the Chiefs can claim their place as the next dominant team in the NFL. I am very hesitant to ever use the word dynasty, because you see frequently a team wins one, or maybe, you know, gets to a second one. Sometimes they even win two, and people are quick to proclaim them as the team of the decade. It's tough to stay on top, but if you are going to become a dynasty, this is the kind of step you need to take. You know, winning the second one is a very important step along that way. So I'm not sure I'm ready to declare the Chiefs a dynasty if they win this game, but they could be on their way if they are able to defeat the Buccaneers. So I think a lot will be on the line in the Super Bowl this year. I think that this is going to be a very important Super Bowl in a historical context, and I'm sure we'll talk about it plenty over the next 2 weeks. But that's all for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a good Monday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.